It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll find out why Wisconsin was ranked as the third most bike-friendly state in the United States.
First, most of us talk to ourselves from time to time, out loud, quietly, negatively or positively, or even with self-affirmations, like Stuart Smalley.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
He sounds just like you before
me.
Showtime, Rob.
Yeah, that's exactly my self-affirmation.
Eerie.
Doggone it.
Well, our next guest looked into the science behind self-talk like that and found out that it can make a big difference in our lives if we do it right.
Elizabeth Bernstein is with us. She is a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Bonds on Relationships column. Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So what is self-talk?
Self-talk is sort of a subset of thinking, and it's where we address ourselves. We could do it in our heads, not out loud, but some people do it out loud, and we're really talking to ourselves. We are having a conversation, usually walking ourselves through something or trying to motivate ourselves.
It's reassuring to know that there's an actual term for it, even though most of us do it, we don't usually admit to doing it. When do people usually use self-talk?
Well, it's several different ways. Lots of times people use it to psych themselves up. So, you know, if it's for a task, you know, yes, I'm going to have a good show because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough. But it can also be, that's called motivational self-talk, when people use it to psych themselves up for a task or a competition, something like that. There's also something called instructional self-talk, and that's where we're practicing something. We're walking ourselves through something. Could be when we're driving. You can say, now, turn left at the next light, or people who are learning a sport or sort of training for something will talk to themselves about it. And the goal is that it'll eventually become sort of something that we do by rote. But we need to talk ourselves through it quite a few times to begin with to get it there.
Okay, Rob, now ask Elizabeth a good question. How can we be effective? You actually looked into the science behind self-talk, and there are right ways and wrong ways to do it. What are some of the good ways to do it?
So the good ways to do it, this is interesting. You're supposed to talk to yourself as you would talk to someone else. So researchers who have looked at this say you, instead of saying, I need to do this, I need to do that, somehow that comes across more as scolding. You talk to yourself with the word you, with the pronoun you. You know, you need to ask a good question. You need to have a good answer to this question. Or you also use your name. So, hey, Rob, you know, you need to pay more attention. You need to use your name. You're distancing yourself a little bit, and somehow it makes the researchers say it makes you pay more attention to what you're saying.
What's the deal with that? Why would saying you instead of I make that kind of difference?
The researchers feel that it gives you sort of objective, helpful feedback, that it allows you to distance yourself from that critical voice that's in your head, and you somehow are kinder to yourself, and you're giving yourself a little bit more objective talk than you would unnecessarily if you were, you know, just saying I. Somehow that I allows us just to say every mean thing we want to say to ourselves.
So is it like you become your own coach when you talk like that, as though there is literally, you know, well, figuratively, literally, someone standing beside you and coaching you, if you use that language, that almost is what happens.
Exactly. When other people use your name, hey, Elizabeth, you need to do this, you know, they're usually kind, and they're usually, you know, boosting you up. Coaches try to, you know, get you, motivate you in positive ways. And so that's what you're really doing. Exactly. You're being your own coach.
And is negative self-talk bad for us? Does it hurt our performance or our self-image or something?
Well, it's interesting. So you don't want to beat yourself up. Nobody wants to beat yourself up at all. But a little negative self-talk is not bad. It's the way you deliver it to yourself. So instead of saying, hey, you know, I just bombed that presentation at work, you know, what you need to say is, okay, Elizabeth, that wasn't your best effort. You know, next time you need to buckle down, do more prep. You know, you need to sort of deliver the bad news gently to yourself, and then that sort of pep talk.
So you're not being a bully with yourself. You're not going, oh, you blew it. You're so stupid. Why did you do that? You're kind of kind, but you're still tough.
Exactly. You would never tell a friend, like, you know, hopefully you wouldn't. You blew it. You're an idiot. You know, what a moron. I can't believe you did this. You would say, like, hey, okay, you know, I thought that was good, but, you know, it wasn't the best, and you need to do a little better next time. How can you do better? Well, you better prepare. So you really want to talk to yourself as you would talk to a good friend you really cared about.
Our producer, Amanda Magnus, says she uses self-talk when she's learning new roller derby stuff. I tried it when I was learning how to downhill ski, and I survived, you know, talking through each step. That's more on the instructional than the motivational side. Is there a right way to do that kind of instructional self-talk when we're learning something new?
You're supposed to be very short. The directions you give yourself are supposed to be short, precise, and consistent. And so that consistent is very important, that if you're learning a new task, you're learning roller derby, or I actually am a scuba diver, and this past weekend I went diving, and I did talk myself through it. Okay, now you need to do this, now you need to do that. But you need to, the key with the consistency is that you're hoping eventually that this behavior that you're talking yourself through, these new skills that you're learning, you will be able to, you know, get them to the point where you don't have to talk about it. You can just do it. So to do that, you need to be consistent over and over until, you know, your mind and body sort of just take over and do it automatically.
Elizabeth, does everybody use self-talk, or, you know, if they say they don't, are they really doing it and they're just not admitting it?
Exactly. So the research shows that everybody talks to themselves. The people who say they don't are either they don't know it or they're lying. So
that's kind of reassuring.
You may not realize it, but I'm sorry?
It's kind of reassuring because I've done it in the past. Usually I do it when I'm working out or something and things are getting difficult. But I always think maybe I should stop because maybe this is a little unhealthy. But is it healthy overall?
It's very, very healthy to do it, to do it well. You don't want to beat yourself up again. You can't keep telling yourself a moron, you're a moron, and you can't, you can't look in the mirror and say, oh, you ugly idiot. You have to really talk to yourself very kindly again, as if you were, a good friend, talking to a good friend. But it's very important. I mean, top world-class athletes do this. This is how they walk them through the task, themselves through tasks. They will walk themselves through a performance before it happens, or a competition. I mean, this is very successful people use self-talk to great success. So it's definitely a good thing. It's just all in the way you do it.
It seems like the overarching message here is to practice conscious self-talk, because I'll kind of have self-rambling, I guess I can call it, neither positive nor negative, like, it'd be nice to go back to bed now or something, and first thing in the morning, just rambling self-talk as I'm rambling this question out now. So being conscious sounds like the key here.
Being very conscious of what you tell yourself. And again, exactly that. You would bore a friend if you just ran through your morning. Now you're going to brush your teeth. Now you're going to make some coffee. So, very conscious. Again, talking to yourself as if you were a really good friend and with real kindness. I think the problem is many of us probably talk to ourselves way too harshly. So again, the negative self-talk can be helpful, but you need to say, like, okay, wasn't a great job, but hey, I know you can do it better. Here's how you can do it better. Again, just coach yourself as if you were your own best coach.
And you mentioned someone close to you in your life being a foremost practitioner of this. I think it was your dad was a big self-talker.
Loves to self-talk, yes. So you can talk. He says that, no one else listens to him. So he will have to talk to himself. So, big thing. I once was walking down the street in Manhattan and turned a corner and only realized I was in deep in conversation with myself when a colleague who happened to be sitting on a bench just burst out laughing when he saw me. So then I realized, oh, well, I'd been talking. So I think we all do it. And the key my dad did teach us, give yourself a high five. Tell yourself, he taught his kids, give yourself a high five and tell yourself how great you are. And that can be really helpful when you do something well.
Elizabeth, thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
Thanks for being with me.
That's Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. She writes the Bonds on Relationships column.